As we study God's word, it's like it tells us of in James in chapter 1, 22-24, that we look in the word of God as a mirror because we can see what manner of man we are. We can see what type of person we are. And oftentimes we may be shown where we're lacking, our sin. We also have many examples that we can look to. And so tonight, as I've been thinking about, I want to look like this woman. Matter of fact, a Syrophoenician woman. And some of you kind of know where I'm going with this, but some of you might be thinking, "What in the world is he talking about?" But the image of this woman is found in Matthew chapter 15, and also Mark chapter 7, and 15 is 21 through 28, and Mark is 24 to 30. And feel free to look at either of those as we would proceed. But I'm going to start here in Matthew chapter 15, in verse 21. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." And so here it is, this woman, Jesus is, he's gone into this land and he's seeking, to kind of get away from the crowds. He's leaving the area of the Jews and he's entering to the, this place that would be modern day Lebanon. And so this is a woman there. She's a Greek, and her, by birth, she's a Syrophoenician. And so, she comes to Jesus and she recognizes, she's heard of him. She knows who he is. She calls out him, he's the son of David, and her daughter is severely demon-possessed, and she has a great concern for her daughter. And so she's seeking Jesus to get help so that her daughter can be released from this. But he answered her not a word. How do you feel when you have a concern, but then you're ignored? Your concern is just totally, it's ignored. We don't feel too good about that, do we? And that's something where it is, we can be offended by that, can't we? Someone ignores us. When we have a need and we're crying out, we're begging for help, but we just get ignored. He answered her not a word. And the disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries after us." And so she's just not coming and forth and just making one plea, but she's continuing. And she's seeking out, she wants help. She's crying out, "Son of David, my daughter is severely demon-possessed," and the disciples, they're tired of it. They're tired of hearing it. And it seems that their mindset might be as well, just do what she just sent her away. Just help her daughter and so she can go and stop crying after us. But he answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." I don't know if she heard that, but that's a rejection. "I'm only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel," which is true, but she didn't stop. Then she came and worshiped him, saying, "Lord, help me." So she's making a real, a heartfelt appeal to the man who she knows can help her in her situation. She doesn't have any doubt. "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." Now, the Lord didn't, he didn't mean that as an insult. He's giving a parable to show her, that he's come to the lost house of Israel. And so he relates as far as the children of Israel as the children in his parable, and that the little dogs are, you know, it's like, well, these Gentiles. Now, it's a little bit clearer in Mark because he says it's first better to give to the children. And so it's not like the others are going to be totally left out, but this comes first. And this is what God has sent him, that this is first. You go to the lost house of Israel and you teach them. So it wasn't an insult to her, but it could be taken that way though, couldn't it? If you hear that and you relate it as a dog, it sounds like an insult. And she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Great was her faith. So what was so great about her faith? That she was able to get what she desired. The faith that this was the son of David. This is the one that had been prophesied that would come. She wasn't a Jew, but she knew about that. And she knew she had a situation that needed to be taken care of. And so she sought him. And even though she was first ignored, she didn't stop. She could have stopped right there. How are we in our prayers when it is that we're seeking something? I know that, you know, a child that's harmed, that's something as far as it's very serious that we could and we would really want to seek. But there are things as far as maybe they're less than that, and maybe we give up because it seems like as far as we're not, God's not hearing us, so we're not getting what we want. I've had to pray for the life of a child before. And so it, the verse is, you know who can help. And of course, the Lord helped me. And my daughter is, she's alive today and she has a daughter. So I praise God for that. Didn't know if she was going to make it or not because she was on a machine. The doctors didn't know if when they took her off the machine, whether she was going to be able to breathe on her own, just a few days old. So here it is. She's requesting. She's been ignored, but she doesn't give up. She's persistent. The people there want her to be sent away, just forgotten about. She didn't give up. What did she do? It seems that she was at a distance at first, perhaps out of reverence, knowing that she was a Gentile and that this was the son of David. But then instead of going away, she came closer and worshiped him, saying, "Lord, help me." She made her plea of distress that much more appealing. And so she got an answer. And the answer could have turned her away. "Are you calling me a dog? I'm not going to get anything. If he's looking at me like I'm just a dog, I'm not getting anything." But she didn't take it that way. Why? This woman, not only was she persistent, not only was she resilient, but she had a great humility. And she agreed, yes. But the dogs, they eat the crumbs that could fall from the table. So she presented it in faith like it's just, she's not asking too great a thing that the Lord could do, but just a crumb. Just help me. And so we see the faith of this woman, the image that we have of her, is that she was one that was faithful enough to persevere. She was resilient. She didn't give up. And she was humble. And the Lord said, "O woman of great faith, O man of great faith," when it is that you can emulate what it is that we see here in the image that's shown of us and of this particular woman here. You think that, you know, she certainly had a great love for her daughter and wanted her to be healed. But there's a greater image that we can look to, and that is that of Jesus, that he had a love for lost souls and that he persevered to do what God's will was, even to death, and that the death of a cross, so that men and women could be saved from the clutches of Satan and receive eternal life and live with him forever. So it's thinking, can we take this and think about, as we look at this image of this woman and then look further through the image of Jesus and the love she had for a child and the love that Christ has for lost souls, can we internalize that? Can it help us to develop a love for souls? He gave of himself, and what can we give of ourselves to seek a lost soul, to have someone who was in darkness, who's captive of Satan, and then to have them set free? So let's think about that as we consider tonight and consider who we are and consider our faith. Perhaps sometimes we see the lack of it. Let's take this example, an example of Christ, and try to help it to strengthen our faith that we can go forth and to be those that will please God. So consider this. If there's anything that you need prayers for tonight, to have this or any other thing that's strengthened, just come forward as we would close in our song.